Families, caregivers, clinicians, educators, researchers. If you care about how children eat, you're not at the edge of this work, you're at the heart of it. This is the care we share. Join us at the Feeding and Eating Psychology Summit, August 21st, and bring a friend. Experience the summit together and grow the understanding our families depend on. The group rate for two or more is $105, CEUs included. Learn more and register at feedingmatters.org/psych-summit. That's feedingmatters.org/psych-summit.
Presented by Feeding Matters, with host Jacqueline Peterson and Dr. Haley Estrom.
Feeding does matter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Feeding Does Matter. My name is Jacqueline Peterson, CEO of Feeding Matters, a huge part of our organization, as well as the heartbeat of the Feeding Alliance, is that we have parents and caregivers of children with pediatric feeding disorder, or ARFID, feeding disorders and differences, as well as those who have experienced it and walked that path themselves. And so it's with great pleasure that I introduce you to the chair of our family support pillar within the Feeding Alliance, who also serves as our chair of the Family Advisory Council, Yomi Ogedebe. Hi, Yomi. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And so before we get into all the things that the Family Advisory Council does and what we do for family support, maybe just share a little bit about yourself and your background.
So, hi, everyone. My name is Yomi. And before I became chair of the Family Advisory Council and Family Support Pillar, I'm mom to two lovely kids, Joshua and Joanna. And our journey with the whole pediatric feeding disorder industry or sector, I don't know the right words.
Yeah, sure.
Is because when my son was born, I think it was about 6 months or 9 months into when we start transitioning into table foods, we noticed he wasn't really interested in food, or when we gave it to him, he would sometimes gag. At one point, he projectile vomited. So we said, no, this can't be natural.
Right.
So we talked to the pediatrician and went, oh, everything's fine. He'll eat when it's ready. And as parents, you know when there's something up with your child. You know when something isn't right, but said, okay, they're the trained ones, they're the professionals. We'll listen and we'll continue to try working with him at home. Well, we noticed things just went moving forward. So after a while, we finally were able to get an evaluation and they told us that he needed feeding therapy, but they didn't say what exactly was wrong with him. So that was how our family's journey into the pediatric feeding disorder started.
Yeah.
And of course, when I'm not acting as a parent, I am a project management professional. So I work with a number of clients to provide project management support. And I think it's that background that also helped me try to figure out what was going on. So doing a ton of research to try to get some kind of diagnosis or understanding of what was going on with my son.
Yeah, for sure. And you've been such a great advocate personally for your own family's journey, but also in bringing that lived experience and professional experience to Feeding Matters. You've been able to really guide and lead the Family Advisory Council and Family Support Pillar in so many ways that we couldn't have even envisioned too, because of both your lived experience and your professional skill set as well. So I guess just let's start with maybe sharing a little bit about what the Family Advisory Council is and what the Family Support Pillar is.
Certainly. So the Family Advisory Council is made up of parents and caregivers with lived experience of pediatric feeding disorder. And our primary role is to ensure family perspectives are part of Feeding Matters programs, resources, and strategic planning. And as you know, families bring a unique perspective that can't be learned from a textbook. And so we know what it's like to navigate doctor's appointments. We know what it's like to try to get insurance coverage for our kids. and everyday life for a child dealing with pediatric feeding disorder. So our goal is really to make sure that family voices help shape better solutions. And the family support pillar is, it's led by the Family Advisory Council, but it's a part of the Feeding Alliance. And really what the family support pillar does is that it exists to ensure families are informed, they are connected and supported throughout every stage of their journey. Again, we recognize that families need different things at different times. In my experience, at one point when we finally figured out that my son needed breathing therapy, but insurance said it wouldn't be covered because it wasn't medically necessary. At that point, I reached out to Feeding Matters, just trying to get information, and that was one of the resources I saw online. And I remember getting an email from Heidi, who's a senior, I think she's a senior project manager at Feeding Matters, and he matched me with a parent's coach who built Power of Two programs. And at the end of her email, she said, hang in there, you're not on this journey alone. So at that point, it made me really feel supported, because that was one of the things I was looking for at the time, not knowing what was going on, not knowing how to navigate what my son was going through. So that's what the family support pillar does. It helps families, if it's emotional support you need, if it's practical resources, if it's help finding providers, and in some cases, it's just needing financial assistance. So we have different programs like the Power of Two coaching program. There's a family assistance program. There's a family guide to PFD, provided directly. There's an infant and child feeding questionnaire. And all these are the different resources that we have to meet families where they are in their journeys.
Yes, yes, to meet them where they are in their journeys. And that is exactly what you all do. I know it's a conversation that you all have. It's certainly one that we have internally at the team, that a family may not have ever heard of this and may just be experiencing it when they come and find us. And then there may be the family that maybe knows a lot more or has been on this journey a longer time. And you all do such a beautiful job of being able to flex to what the family needs of, you know, sometimes parents are ready to hear it all and research it all and give me the brain dump right away. And other parents are ready to like, I need to take this slow and I need to step into that. What are your thoughts on kind of how that flexibility looks like and how we're making sure our parents and caregivers feel supported?
Well, it's a number of different ways, right? So as I was saying, for me at that point in my journey, it was just emotional support through the Power of Two coaching program. And with that, it's talking to someone who's trained and has had that lived experience of what I've gone through. And it's so talking to her, she sends me an email trying to find out how things are going. I tell her how things are going. She might point me in the right direction for resources, for example. At the time, she said, well, you can try to go to the district and have your son evaluated so that they know if there are any issues that they need to get a diagnosis for. And that way, you might be able to get insurance coverage. But that was one. And ultimately, that was what we did. We were able to get a diagnosis, and what he was diagnosed with was a form of PFD, which was oral dysphagia. So I wouldn't have thought of that if I hadn't had that conversation with the Power of Two, my coach at the time. So that's one. The other one is you have families who need resources or funding because maybe the insurance isn't covering adequately what they need, or they just need some additional funding to help, maybe buy a blender or a specialized formula. You have the Family Assistance Program, which provides annual financial assistance for eligible families. And then you have some other families who, what they need is just resources, which you can get from the website, or it's just understanding the pathway for PFD and what their journey might look like. And that's one of the things we also worked on. Of the patient caregiver mapping project. So it's still ongoing right now. But at the end of the day, we have a visual that shows where things start and what the journey will be up to the end. So parents who don't have an understanding, or even if you have that understanding, It just gives you a clear pathway forward of what's going to happen and how you can navigate that field.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up the patient experience mapping project, because I had forgotten that that was a project that is still ongoing, and that you all had such a formative, generative conversation and really figuring out what that was going to look like. And so just so everybody knows, a few different things that came to mind as you were talking, Yomi, the parents and caregivers that are volunteers that are supporting everybody in the coaching program, you mentioned they're trained and they are extensively trained and supported throughout their journey as volunteers. We do a trauma-informed audit on our programming to make sure that we are supporting our families in the ways that they need to be supported, because this journey can traumatize and re-traumatize as you're having these experiences and sharing them with your coach and your mentee and your mentor. So that's the one thing that I did want to mention, just so everybody knows that there's a process by which we're supporting our families, that it's a qualified process. And then the patient experience mapping. For years, we've been asking families to share their stories and tell their journeys. And that storytelling is critical to building awareness and shared understanding and relatability and building a community and all of those things. But there's been so many stories that we've heard that just really show how long the journey is, in terms of, I saw this provider and they told me to wait 3 months. Then I saw them again and really advocated for myself, and they sent me to a provider that made me wait 6 months. And then I saw them and they told me to try this formula and that didn't work. And then I did this. And it's this, I mean, odyssey of a journey. And we really wanted to be able to take one or two stories and capture that. And you worked in partnership with Heidi Vandermolen to really build what that experience mapping looked like, to have that visual that you described. I know that they're working on the analysis of that right now. So it'll be really exciting to share that with the community when it comes out. Yes, for sure. Cause it's like, I don't think the general public's understanding of like how enormous that is for everybody going through it. And then to your point of helping others that are starting on that journey and are able to kind of see like where they may be at is so helpful as well. I know it's one of the, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
When you are in the thick of things, when you're in that journey, you're going through that process of maybe pureeing foods every day, every meal. You can't sit together as a family to have a meal because you have to puree one person's meal and everyone else has to wait. You aren't thinking about the future. You aren't thinking that, oh, this is going to change. You are just, it's everyday, day in, day out, repetitive. But at some point, you look back when you've gone through that process. I mean, that's what we did. And now it's chewing so well and it's eating such a wide variety of food. And it's just, in the past, once in the morning, you jump up, have to go make a meal. Now, I can lie down in bed for a little while because I know he can get up and grab a snack and I don't have to worry that I won't be able to chew and choke on it. Yeah. So it's different points in the journey and how things can change, but also acknowledging that when you're in it, you aren't thinking that it will, but ultimately when you look back, like, yeah, it is possible. There is light at the end of the tunnel and there is hope. But when you have that information that helps you make an informed decision for your family, then that also helps you with that journey that you have in your mind, knowing where things will ultimately go.
Yeah, true. Because that's very true. I know a lot of conversations that happen in those Power of Two conversations is about the length of the journey. Because I think sometimes we're kind of waiting for what that silver bullet looks like. And it's a longer journey than that. And we try to tell people that it takes us 13 years to learn how to eat without anything getting disrupted. Right. And so it's going to take a long time, and it is maybe a longer journey than, and it's okay to take the breaks throughout to give yourself the space, knowing it's such a long journey. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned another program that we wanted to talk about, which is our Family Financial Assistance Program. And that application is open right now. So those of you that are listening, we hope you share this program either for yourselves if you are looking for financial assistance. We know insurance is not covering everything. We know that there's carpets that are being replaced and, like you're saying, blenders and those different things, let alone any of the appointments or the programs that maybe insurance isn't fully covering or covering at all. And so this, we know it doesn't offer covering everything, but this program is open right now. So we encourage you to either fill it out yourself or share it with your families if you're a provider. Maybe share a little bit about the program, Yomi.
So the Family Assistance Program, it's an annual program that provides financial assistance to eligible families of children with pediatric disorders, ARFID, or other feeding challenges. And because we know that insurance usually doesn't cover everything, like Jacqueline said, we believe that this program can help reduce some of those barriers that families face, and it can help them focus more on their children than on worrying about whether they can afford essential care. And this program has been in effect since 2019, and it's actually awarded about $50,000 to families across the U.S., and this year we'll be awarding $2,000 each to 5 families.
Yep.
And again, I keep coming back to my family because this is something we experienced those barriers firsthand. As I said, insurance didn't cover the feeding therapy we needed initially because it wasn't medically necessary. But so we didn't do anything at that point. We were just working at home trying to get him to chew. But then many years later, once he was diagnosed and we went through intensive feeding therapy, that was ultimately covered by insurance because we did have an official diagnosis at that point. But he still wasn't chewing after that month-long therapy. So the journey wasn't over. And we still had to look for more feeding therapy, which we ultimately found. But then we had to pay out of pocket because insurance wouldn't cover that one.
Yeah.
So these are some of the things that families go through. And I think that experience showed me that getting a diagnosis is just part of the problem. Totally. Families also need access to care. And if you don't have access to care, then how do you take care of your kids? And so that's why this program is so important and meaningful, because it offers practical help, but also sends an important message to families that they are seen, they're supported, and they aren't alone in this journey.
Mm-hmm. Very true. That's the headline. We know this is a long and lonely journey, and we don't want any parent to feel alone in that. We are here for you if you are on this journey too, and we can be your community, and that's what we hope that you find in us. We do hope you can find financial assistance through that program, information and resources through a lot of our other guides and educational materials and our provider directory to find providers. But finding community and finding that you're not alone is a huge part of what you're leading, Yomi, and really meaningful work.
And just one more thing on this.
Yeah.
Families that are listening, if don't feel like this doesn't apply to you, because there's some people, they look at the requirements and like, well, I'm not sure this, I'll be eligible for this. Just apply. Clinicians who are listening, just share this information with the families you support, because every little helps.
Mm-hmm.
Just apply, and who knows?
Yeah, it does. And this is a program that we would want to love to see grow, as well as work on the system barriers that are creating some of these financial conditions around insurance access and all of those things. We have been able to, luckily enough, do this program for the past few years, and it's been on the top of the list when we've had to think about where do we cut, that this does not get cut. And so we do want to make that commitment to our families. And so please share that. We are able to offer 5 $2,000 awards this year. And if you've got questions as you're filling out the application, know that we're available for that as well. The application is due October 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yeah, October 11th. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Well, thank you, Yomi, for sharing all of this. It really allows people an insight into all of the efforts for family support and all of those programs, and also just I think the Family Advisory Council has done such a good job of, like, really having a goal in mind and achieving it. And I remember too, not too long ago, the goal was like, we want to make sure that there is lived experience on all of the committees that are happening at conference. And you all did that with like our conference committee, our psych summit, like all of our committees have lived experience. And even our conference and Shannon Goldwater Summit for Change now have co-chairs with lived experience as one of those co-chairs. And that's because of the advocacy of the Family Advisory Council.
Quite true.
Yeah.
And again, with the family support pillar, I think that's what's really important about that pillar, because we also try to work with the other. So there are four pillars under the Feeding Alliance. We have education, research, and advocacy. So family support always tries to make sure that whatever it is they're working on, we are providing that family perspective so that that lived experience is mainstreamed into everything they're working on. For example, advocacy, they were working on a back to school toolkit last year, and you brought that to the NBC, and that went out to the school. And I thought that was such a beautiful thing. I used it for my son when he started a new school. So that was something that was really great. Education as well, come up with educational resources and training for clinicians and families. We work with them as well to make sure that whatever it is we're doing is always thinking through the lens of the family perspective. So it's really, it's just amazing, because I think what Feeding Matters is doing right now, again, specifically because of the Alliance, because it's a collaborative network of various stakeholders, clinicians, families, educators, researchers, advocates, and the community as well. So it's bringing everybody together so they can work towards ensuring that there's a change in the system of care for PFD, RFID, and other feeding disorders. So having the, I'm proud to be part of that process. Just because, I mean, families ultimately, sometimes you feel like all these technical terms being thrown around, you don't know know what to do. But when you know that there is that family perspective that is always integrated into everything that's happening now, I think that's a really, I'm doffing my hat to Feeding Matters for that, because you are making sure that families are partners in this journey, not just that families are being spoken at, but they are involved at every step of the way. So that's really great.
Thanks, Yomi. That's really important to us. It's we really feel like you need to walk the talk. Like, you can't just be out there talking about being family centered. We need to be and model that internally as well. And that for us is progress we've been really proud of, but couldn't have done without the support of our leadership and our volunteers, for sure. And so it's truly something we've done collaboratively, but something we should be really proud of. I agree. Now, I know people wonder, like, what's the difference if I'm looking to get involved? Like, what's the difference between the Feeding Research Consortium and the Family Advisory Council?
Well, I think for the Family Advisory Council, at least the way I look at it, the Family Advisory Council, it's like a, I don't know if governance is the right word, but it's at that level, because you are working with Feeding Matters to ensure that strategic planning, governance processes, all those things always have the family perspective in mind.
I think that's exactly the differentiation. Is Family Advisory Council kind of has their hands in almost everything within Feeding Matters, not only the Feeding Alliance, but also the efforts of and programs and initiatives and collaborations that we do as an organization. Whereas the Feeding Research Consortium has a narrower scope. The Person and Family Centered Feeding Research Consortium. Very focused and has to be. They have to learn and train about research and be able to then contribute to the research of the field. And it's meaningful contribution. It's advocacy in its own right. It just is a narrower scope. Mm-hmm. And so if someone does want to get involved with the Family Support Pillar, Family Advisory Council, what do you encourage them to do?
I would encourage them to attend one of the many programs that we have. The learning lounges. You can also have a look at the website. There's a video on the website talking about the Alliance. So you can become involved as a volunteer. the Alliance. You don't have to be at the leadership level if you don't want to. There are different ways you can be involved. If you want to be a member of council, I think we're also coming up to the time when some members might be coming to the end of their term. So that's one way you can get involved, becoming a member of council, which ultimately then makes you, if you're the chair, makes you a member of the family support pillar. But then you can also be involved in conference if you want to. And what we try to do as part of the family support pillar is when there are different initiatives that are happening, I check in with FAC to see if there are particular people who might be involved, interested in particular aspects of things. So if there's something you're particularly interested in, for example, Amber, I think she's the one working on the research piece.
Yep, she is.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's something she expressed interest in. So again, there are lots of different ways you can contribute if you want to give back.
Yeah, and we need all the voices. So if you're feeling like your journey's at a place where you do want to give back, and completely understand it if you're not, because we know it ebbs and flows, and we don't ever want to take away from what you're experiencing right now. But we're here to support. But if you want to go beyond support and want to contribute in this way, we do have many different opportunities. Like Yomi said, volunteering with the Alliance, being a volunteer yourself, or if you do want to do more of that leadership role and be a part of the council, in which you can then be part of the council and be able to be on other committees as well. It's like kind of choose your own adventure, I feel like.
Yeah. There's also the family assistance program, because we have
they evaluate all the applications.
So if that's something you want to do, I've been part of that committee for, I don't know, 3-4 years now. I think this will probably be the last time I can be on that.
You do so much with us, Yomi. We're so lucky to have you.
So that's another way you can contribute if you want to do something.
Yeah.
Here.
Be a chair of family support, chair of family advisory council, be on different committees that you're on. Yes. Well, so thank you so much for being able to share a little bit more about how and what happens within our family support area and our family advisory council efforts within our organization. Now, you, as having your own lived experience, what would be the advice that you would give families that are out there that may be struggling and may not have that community or not be as involved or maybe be at the beginning of their journey? What would be the advice that you would give them?
So I think it would be, the first thing is that parents should trust their instincts. If you feel like something isn't right, don't stop asking questions. And don't be afraid to seek alternative opinions or to ask for additional support. And try to, if you're able to, do some research. That's how I came across Feeding Matters. And at that point, I wasn't
looking to Google search.
Yeah, just general Google search, because I didn't know what else to do. So I was just checking, not chewing, has issues with his oral issue. Then I think Feeding Matters was one of the first ones that popped up. And that's how, I wasn't looking to be a volunteer at that time. I was just a parent looking for information, looking for help with my son. So that's one of the things you can do. Just do some research and get in touch with Feeding Matters if you are able to. They have a lot, as we mentioned before, they have lots of great resources that can help. Even if it's just information, that the questionnaire, if you're at the early stages of your journey, does the infant and child questionnaire, fill that out. You can also use that to ask your provider questions. And then there's also the guidebook on PFD, what it is, what the journey looks like, and what the next steps are. And then we also have the provider directly. So these are all the different ways that we are able to support families at different points where they are in their journey.
Yep. So many different ways. And we continue to think about what are the next ways we need to support families, and how can we make sure we're evolving our programs to do that.
One last thing on that point is, from what I've learned about Feeding Matters, is that there is a community of families and professionals that are here to help you, and they want to work alongside you. So don't be afraid to reach out and just try to get that support.
Yep. That's so true. Yomi, thank you. And your leadership in this pillar is really valuable. And we're just really grateful for you.
I'm grateful to be a part.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anything I didn't ask but you wanted to share as you were thinking about what you wanted to share today?
I guess the only thing is just for clinicians to just continue listening to families and just trying to help them. But sometimes people are here. They don't know what to do. They didn't want to ask. Just help guide them. Help steer them in the right direction towards the help they need.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you do for families. Thank you for what you do for Feeding Matters and the Feeding Alliance. And to those of you that are listening, please reach out if you need us or reach out if you want to be a part of what we're doing and doing it together. So we really, it's going to take all of us. That's for sure. So thank you for listening and we will see you next week. Thanks, Yomi.
Thank you.